As you have your Bibles in your hand and as you're standing, we'd like to read the verses out of Romans chapter 8 this morning. Romans chapter 8. Last week we covered verse 1. I can assure you we'll get a little further this morning. This morning the message is life in the Spirit. And it's a message from the Word of God that I need and I think we all need. In Romans 8 chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Heavenly Father, I do pray and thank you so much for your word. It's the living word. It's true. It's what we need today. We have God's word with us, and we have the Spirit of God with us. And we pray, Lord, that you'd open up our hearts and our minds, that we could learn today more about you and what you have for us. We pray, God, a blessing now too, Lord, upon many that have been affected by the fires, especially on the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington. Lives have been lost, homes have been destroyed, other property, people are displaced. And we pray to you, O Heavenly Father, that you would bring a comfort and direction. You'd help decision makers. We thank you for those that are fighting hard and diligently to try to put this all out and caring for people. God, be in the midst of that. Lord, also at this time, our nation is in great trouble. We need you. We need to be before you and seeking a sense of forgiveness and a sense of your strength, a sense of a desire to follow after you. We pray, God, for you to work mightily. I know, God, you're using this time to draw me and many others closer to you. We thank you. Be with us now. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we start off today where we were at last week in that first verse, as was prayed by Victor earlier this morning, "But there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us through Christ Jesus." This is the message, and it is so powerful to try to really receive this. When we looked at the book of Romans, and we're in two of the more, I would say, difficult books of the New Testament, Romans on Sunday and Revelation on Wednesday night, but what a great blessing, what a great place to be. We saw in Romans the explanation that we need to have. We see that God loves us, but the world is guilty before him. And it tells us that we're condemned, that there's no future for us. But then we see, but God, who's rich in his mercy. So God, he saved us. And we see that the world is guilty. And the problems of this world right now, the answer is Jesus Christ. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind and strength, I believe if men and women and boys and girls, even at this moment, if every one of us just turned to the Lord and say, "God, forgive me. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me to live and walk in the Holy Spirit," I would believe that about 95% of the contention of this world, if it was a true resolution of the heart, if it was a true sense, if I want to follow the Lord and I want to live and follow the leading of his Holy Spirit, I believe the contentions of this world, and certainly in the nation in which we live, I believe 95% would just be tamed and would be radically different. We're fighting against one another, but we're fighting darkness. The Lord let us know that our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of darkness waging. And that battle is intense, it's fierce, and you know it, and I know it. But we have God's word, and we stick with God's word. What we see today is, in the scriptures, we saw that there was a need. If there is the condemnation, as Romans communicates, then there's the need for justification. There's the need for God to work on our behalf and to make it as though I never sinned. And that's what justification means in a very simplified form. It means when I face Jesus Christ, and anyone who dies and you face Jesus Christ, if you're born again here on earth, when you face him, you see him and he sees you, and he does not see any sin in you. He sees Christ in you, which is your hope of glory. No condemnation. I know this so well. I believe it to be true. I remember many years ago a family saying, can you help us out? Our son has made some bad decisions, choices relationally. And he's in a hospital and he's dying of AIDS. And will you go talk to him? And I says, you know, I'm happy to do that, but I want him to really want me as a visitor. I don't want to just show up and you know, it'll put him in an awkward situation. I'm happy to come meet with him, but you ask permission if I could come visit him. And they did. It was great. And that's the way I think it should be. That. And when I was there, and I remember in his room in the hospital, and I said, you know why I'm here. I said, your parents, your family, and friends, they're so concerned about you. You know that. So that's why I'm here. So it was just straightforward. And they care about you, and they care about eternity. And you've made decisions, and those decisions have severe consequences. And unfortunately, you're struggling with those right now. And he said, is there any hope? I says, there absolutely is. And we looked in the scriptures, the same ones we shared last week, where Jesus says to the woman that was making poor decisions, and there's no condemnation. And he says, that's what I want. And I says, a lot of times people say a prayer and people repeat it after them. But I said, God is so strongly present in this place. Why don't you just pray out loud, and I'll say amen when you're done. And he did. And it was interesting, when I left the hospital room, his family was down the hall waiting for some sort of hopeful resolution from the conversation. And what happened? What happened? And I said, with just pretty much a blank face, you know, you just need to go see for yourself. And I didn't give any evidence of anything happening. And so they went down to their room, they opened the door and went inside. Then I went back to listen. And he expressed his trust and forgiveness he's received in Jesus Christ. And I just rejoiced in my heart when I could hear mom and dad and others rejoicing. Why? Why is that true? It wasn't our self-righteousness. It was the righteousness of Jesus Christ imparted to somebody that was at that last point in his life. And I remember that he was moved out of there into another location and visiting him. And then he went to be with Jesus. And they asked me if I would officiate the memorial service. And for really, I didn't know much of the family or the friends. But they said, just share with everybody what you shared with him. Share with everybody what he asked you to share with him. And it was great, because the friends and associates he had had prior in the life were able to come and to hear the gospel. And the great news is, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. And there's no condemnation. We need to hear that. We need to receive that. And we need to live within that declaration. There's no condemnation. So the enemy wants to bring condemnation. Jesus died to set us free. The scriptures continue on. to communicate to us that there's a new law. So there's the law of the Spirit, and then it tells us in verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So there's two laws that are at work. The law of the Spirit and the law of sin and death, those two are at work. They're at work right now, but unfortunately, many Christians haven't grasped this. We need to grasp it today. There's two laws that are at work. There's laws that are at work within nature right now. The gravitational law is at work right now. It's in place. Right now, it's in place. That's why I am standing and not floating away. I'm standing right here because gravity is in place, and gravity is always in place. But if I were to go to Bellingham Airport and there was a plane on the runway, and if I decided I want to experience what it's like to supersede the force or the law of gravity, I want to supersede that with another law, and I felt like if I just run my hardest alongside of that plane, when it takes off, maybe I'll take off as well. Well, you know that's not going to happen. But you know, many Christians are running as hard and as fast as they can, trying to supersede that law that is in place. It's not going to happen. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus supersedes the other law that is in place. When the Spirit of God lives within us, and that's what is being communicated to us. I had no chance. Anybody who is not a believer in Jesus Christ has no chance to experience a new law, a law in Christ. Notice again in verse 9 of chapter 8. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. What he's saying is, before you're born again, you do not have that new life of the Spirit. When man was created by God, body, soul, and spirit, the Spirit was at the top. It was dominating spirit, soul, and body. And that relationship with God, that's how it was made. But when man sinned in the garden, the Spirit died and was on the bottom. So you have your body, soul, and spirit. And as people living without a new nature, the body is driving the life. The body is leading the life. Or the flesh, your body, your flesh is leading. Your body is telling you what to do, how to live, decisions to make. It's driven by the body. That's why Jesus says, you must be born again. We're born wrong. We're born in sin. And the body, the flesh, is leading the way. When we're born again, guess what? The Spirit now is on top and the flesh is on the bottom. Flesh still exists, but the Spirit of God is on the top. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We want to be Spirit-led people. We want to live a life in the Spirit. Using the airline illustration, if you had a ticket to go on an airline, and if you had a first-class ticket to go on an airline, imagine first class. I got upgraded once with my wife, and when you're riding in first class on a long trip and it's a new experience, you never want to sit anywhere else. It is something. It's a lot of space. And you just ask them, can you pull that curtain, please? It's before 9/11. You could do that. And you just are up there. Well, just say that God has reserved a first-class ticket for you. That nice, wide leather seat. It's reserved. You got it. Now, to experience the flight, you got to be on board. To experience this flight, you have to be on board. When we're born again, we are now new creatures in Christ Jesus, and the word in Christ for those that are in verse 2, the life in Christ. You'll see the word in Christ many times. So Christ sees us seated with him. He sees us in that first class spot. But you have to get there. You have to get on board. You have to experience that. And what this section of Scripture is saying, stay with me now, stay with me. What this experience that God has for us to really experience a life in the Spirit, God sees us positionally with him in Christ seated there. And he sees us being able to overcome or supersede the forces of the law and the forces of this life and the forces of the flesh. But you have to make decisions. And the decision is Christ sees me seated there. I need to be there. But the flesh says, no, you know, maybe you need to go back and experience the life before your life in Christ Jesus. And that's the battle that's taking place in our lives as believers. As believers, there is a battle going on. And we will contend with this battle until our last breath on earth. The great thing about heaven is not only seeing Jesus, but I don't contend with the flesh, I don't contend with the devil, and I don't contend with the world and worldliness. That's what makes heaven so great. But here we do. Now we want to live a different life. We don't want to go back to that past life. We don't want to go back to a life dominated by sin. We've been set free from that. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, it has some important things to communicate to us regarding this life in the Spirit, this new life that we have. It tells us specifically in Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. What are the law? What is the works of the law? The works of the law, the works of the flesh are evident. They're idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envies, murders, drunkenness, revivalries, not revivals, but you know what I mean, cutting it up big time on Friday night, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he's telling us, this is the way it was. This is what we were dedicated to, but we're different now. Not that we don't battle things, but he's telling us specifically that we must refrain from those things that were once a part of our flesh and a part of our mind. Again, if we look at the scriptures in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded, fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You want to please God. You're here because you want to please God. You want to know God. You want to live for God. I believe that to be true. But there's a battle going on, and you realize, why is my life resembling my past? Listen, regarding our past, God has forgiven our past. Amen. All of our sins of our past are forgiven. Amen. As believers, he's forgiven them. Amen. Past is taken care of. Let's talk about the future. If you're a born-again believer, your future is in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's great news. So my sinful life is completely forgiven, completely and entirely forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, and I have a future home guaranteed in heaven. Now, presently, I'm living here, and I want to live a life that glorifies God. I want to give God glory. The word is sanctification. It means to be set apart. To be holy means to be set apart. You and I, we want to live a life that's pleasing to God. If we're living a life in the flesh, we're not pleasing to God. But if we live a life in the Spirit, we will be pleasing to God. Somebody gave an illustration, and it was this individual, and he's taking two dogs for a walk, so to speak. There's two dogs, and they're kind of behaving in a lot of different ways. I mean, like a dog would behave. But the point that was being made is, who's really going to win between these two dogs in a battle? And it's basically, the answer is the one that you feed the most, whatever one you feed the most. And in a sense, you have a life, and it's going to be a life in the flesh or a life in the spirit. And the point is, right now in your life, who's winning? The one you're feeding the most. The one you're feeding the most. And right now, because of social media, we can feed a lot of carnality into our lives, and it takes a lot of effort. What's important as believers? My life was entangled, and I was sold out to the world. But when we become believers in Christ, we look at our life, and there's things that have to change. And it's not because somebody's dictating the laws of do's and don'ts. It's because Christ lives within us. And so, in a sense, you want to begin to move stuff out of your life that were a part of your life before. Not because somebody's demanding it and saying something to you and putting all sorts of judgment and condemnation. It's because the Holy Spirit lives within you and you want to please God. And you say, well, you know something? My Friday nights are a lot different now. Actually, I go to a Bible study or go to home fellowship, or I'm just involved in different. Well, why do you do that? Because you got religion? No, because the Lord lives within me now. And I know, and I learned quite well how to live for the flesh and be sold out for the flesh. I'm different now. My life needs to be different. So brothers and sisters, in our Christian life, there are things immediately that need to be moved out of our life. And the Holy Spirit will show you. Because as you read the scriptures, it'll show you, is this pleasing to God or not pleasing to God? There's a lot, most of my behavior was not pleasing to God. And you say, well, I'm not like you. I'm a good person, and you don't sound like you're a very good person. I'll tell you the truth. I was sold out to living for myself. But I'm sold out for living for Jesus now. And when you make that change, when God makes that change in you, he's telling us in Romans, listen, there's not any condemnation. You're going to walk now in the spirit and not in the flesh. Your identity was with the world. Now your identity is with Jesus Christ. You are with him. And now you're going to make decisions, and make decisions that are going to help your life. There's a responsibility that you have and that I have. You are responsible, and so am I. I'm responsible. Yes, there's no condemnation, but I'm responsible for whatever I put in. In computer terms, garbage in, garbage out. I mean, whatever you put in is what comes out. So we're responsible. And what the scriptures is telling us is with our flesh and with our mind, it will determine where I'm at with God. So to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded. So we have to think of our lives. And in a sense, it's like coming in with a bulldozer. If you've ever been around large pieces of property with big development, the first thing they need to do is they need to just clear the ground. They need to get everything out and level it out. That's the first thing. And the first thing in our Christian life is just to move the junk out. And that's freeing. Have you ever gone to the dump? I mean, you got stuff in your garage and it's all just piled up. And it's like, wow. And you just get really revved up, and it's like, I'm going to take care of this stuff. And it gets momentum. I mean, you just thought you'd have a few things, but then, you know, maybe your wife comes and throws a few more things. I said, this needs to go too. And when you go to that dump place and you just open up, you start to, it's like, it's liberating. It's free. It's like, wow. And in the same way, it's liberating and freeing to get rid of the stuff that dominated our lives. And it's your choice to do that. But God wants to clear the ground. And in a sense, in my mind, once everything's cleared, then I want to put a perimeter fence around. In other words, I don't want that stuff to come back in. I don't want it. And it comes by the gate. It's like, don't you want me? We had some good times together. Stay out. And so my flesh is saying, yeah, it wouldn't be that bad. I mean, you know, a little would be okay, wouldn't it? My flesh, it is mad because it's in the bottom position and the spirit's in top. The spirit is leading now and the flesh goes, come on, we had good times. You can handle it. You can be good. You're stronger now. You can handle it. That's a lie. That's a lie. And so when you put a parameter around, and in a sense, it's like, okay, this is how it's going to help me experience a life in the Spirit. Experiencing the power. Notice again in verse 11, which we didn't read, but it says in verse 10 and 11, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Stay with me. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Christ wants you and I to experience a power, his resurrected power, that supersedes the other laws that are in place, the laws that dominated our life, the law of sin and death. We're on board with him. He wants us to experience that resurrected power. So not only do we clear the ground, not only do we put a fence around the perimeter of our life and our mind and our hearts, then we have a job to do. Verse 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. So when I put that parameter fence around, there's still things that get in through the fence. There's still things that come in. There's still things that get in. No matter, in a sense, how you allow the Lord to lead and to strengthen you, you're still going to contend. Every day, I need the power of God and I need the power of his grace. Even Paul said, I haven't yet arrived. As much as he was surrendered to God, he experienced what it is to live for God and to die to self and deny self. But it is when these other little things get in and these other little attacks come, it tells us in verse 13 that we have to mortify the flesh, to put it to death. And it takes a sense of, is when the attacks come, you must be strong and just say, I'm not that person. I choose not to go there. You have to make those decisions. My friends, we are being bombarded on a daily basis with all kinds of ideologies and philosophies and directions to go and things that want you and they want your heart. And this world wants to own you and this world wants you to be sold out to them. And it comes in all kinds of forms and fashions and wants to steal away that life that you have in Christ Jesus. So Romans is written, and we'll go slowly through chapter 8. This is as far as we'll go for today. But to summarize, there's no condemnation, and we should rejoice in that if we're in Christ Jesus. No charge against you. You die as a believer right now and you face Jesus face to face and there's no charge against you. The thief on the cross at the end of his life when he had but moments to live realized, I need to reconcile my life with God. This is the Holy One and I've been so unholy. I've been blaspheming him. I've been cursing him. I've been calling out against him and he is God. He says to Jesus, in a sense of repentance. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. There's repentance. I don't want to be forgotten by you. Like communion, remember me. I want to be with you. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Done. No condemnation. We want to walk with God and we want to have a life in the Holy Spirit of God. And we're contending right now, every believer, we're contending with living a life that is less than what God has for us. We want to please God with our life. So we must contend with our flesh and we must contend with our mind. The Bible says, have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We want to have the mind of Christ, the mind that he had, surrendered for the purposes of God. No condemnation. We don't want the flesh to dominate anymore. We don't want our thoughts to go random out there. We want to bring it under the control of the Holy Spirit. We want to have a life that pleases God. And we want to experience that resurrected life. If someone says, I'm sorry, Pastor. I understand what you're saying. I understand you're passionate. And I'm glad it works for you. It doesn't work for me. And I'm going to say, you're wrong. It may not be being experienced by you right now. But to say that God's word is not powerful for you and his spirit's not powerful for you and his way isn't powerful for you. God is more powerful than any sin that we've ever committed, any grip of sin that we have. We have been set free. And I appreciate the different works and the different ministries, and I appreciate when people are bound by drugs, alcohol, and other addictions. And I know in some of the meetings where someone would say, first of all, hi, my name is Tom, I'm an alcoholic. And listen, I understand what is being going on right there, but please listen to me. Please listen clearly. Please listen biblically. My name is Tom, and I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And my sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. And my identity is not in the sin of my past. My identity is in my Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's where we begin. My identity is in Him. My mind, I'm in Him. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we need to understand this and need to be set free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. All the law can do is condemn you and discourage you and frustrate you. And what the Spirit of God is, it leads us to redemption and it lifts us above life's situation. Someone may say to you, how are things going? And someone may say, well, under the situation. I'll close with this. Situations will exist until we die. We're all faced with them. God's not wanting us to live under the situation. He's wanting us to live under His grace. And He's wanting us to experience being lifted up above the situation and to have a heavenly view and perspective of things above the situation. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is the Holy Spirit power that lives within us that will lift us up. If you're not experiencing that, and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the seat has been reserved for you in first class in Christ Jesus. You need to sit in that seat. You need to experience a life in Christ. You need to call out to Him and say, Lord, I want Your way. I want to stop living a fleshly life, a life for the world. I want to start living. And it begins in our mind, because whatever we put in our mind it will determine our will. Whatever we pursue with our flesh, it will lead us. If we allow the flesh to lead, the destination is easy. I got here to this sin and this predicament because I let my flesh lead. But if we let the Holy Spirit lead, we'll experience the destination and the experience we truly want and desire in this life. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, in this closing prayer, I do ask, Father, as I study these scriptures, I know personally it causes me to do a couple of things. It causes me to say, God, I am so thankful for your saving grace. And if you've yet to experience the saving grace of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin and for salvation, whether you're here or in the sanctuary or just watching online, I pray right now that you would do what I did many years ago. I said, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. And God will, and God does. These studies, as I prepare, causes me not only to be thankful for salvation, but it causes me to be humble before the Lord, saying, God, it is a vicious battle day in and day out. May your grace be sufficient to strengthen me. Lord, help me. Lord, search my heart. Lord, if there are things, and there are things, there's things that do not need to be a part of my life. And I pray, God, for every day to be a new beginning for me and for us. God, that we would set aside the things that distract us. I pray, God, that you would take captive every thought. You would take our mind captive, our thoughts captive. I pray for myself and each person right now, each person listening right now, that we would experience the mind in Christ Jesus, to have the mind of Christ. We would experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit even now, that we could walk in a way, in a new way, the newness of life, the new walk in the Holy Spirit, not walking under the heavy-handedness of condemnation, but to be walking with the uplifted hand of the Holy Spirit and our loving Savior and our great Shepherd taking care of us. May you pour forth the freshness of that Holy Spirit, life in the Spirit now, upon all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.